Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 2nd. We'll talk with a former CIA analyst this hour who says former CIA Director George Tenet's new book, At the Center of the Storm, is an admission of failed leadership. That Tenet should have resigned in protest rather than take part in the administration's buildup to the war in Iraq. That he should give back his Medal of Freedom and donate royalties from his book to families of Iraq war veterans. What do you say? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and community with your email. Well, Tenet is making news over the charges that he makes in his book. You've probably heard some of them in recent days, where he accused the administration of having no firm rationale for going to war with Iraq, and that the administration had decided before his famous slam dunk quote that it was going after Saddam Hussein. Here's George Tenet on 60 Minutes on Sunday.
If he needed me to say slam dunk to go to war with Iraq, as if he needed me to say that. And you listen to that, and they never let it go. I mean, I became campaign talk. I was a talking point. You know, look what the idiot told us, and we decided to go to war. Well, let's not be so disingenuous.
Well, our guest this hour says that, obviously, George Tenet is unhappy about going down in history as slam dunk Tenet, but in a letter that was sent to him on Saturday, signed by our guest, Ray McGovern, and five other former CIA officers, they said, "You were not a victim. You were a willing participant in a poorly considered policy to start an unnecessary war, and you share culpability with Dick Cheney and George Bush for the debacle in Iraq." Again, we wonder if you agree or not, or what questions you have. Do you think Tenet was a scapegoat or a goat? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are happy to have with us Ray McGovern, a 27-year veteran of the CIA, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. I'll get that right. Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
You're most welcome.
So you think George Tenet is guilty of what?
Well, Joy, just listening to that clip, you know, he says, let's not be so disingenuous. Mm-hmm. Holy Moses, you know. They didn't need me to make the case for war. Well, they did need him, and he cooperated fully. And he committed the cardinal sin of intelligence analysis, and that is to cook the intelligence to the recipe of high policy. It was no secret among the ranks of my former colleagues that George Bush had decided to do war against Iraq as early as early 2002, mm-hmm. and Tenet made it clear that it was the CIA analyst's job to make the case. Now, the slam dunk remark, Joy, is really interesting because everyone up until now took that to mean that after this presentation to the president, we're talking December 21, 2002, so we're talking well before the war, 3 months before the war. After this presentation that his deputy and partner in crime, John McLaughlin, made on weapons of mass destruction, the president said, "Well, that's it? That's all we've got? That's the case?" And it was at that point that Tenet stood up and said, "It's a slam dunk, Mr. President." And nobody denies that he said that. Mm-hmm. Now, his explanation, this is really extraordinary. Are you ready, Joy?
Yep.
He said, "I didn't mean that it was a slam dunk case that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. I meant that, quote, but we can put a better case together for a public case," end quote.
Yeah, so he was saying that it would be a slam dunk to be able to convince the American people that a war with Iraq is justified.
Yeah, in other words, he and his deputy had just presented the strongest case that the intelligence information would permit, and even that was stretching it. The president wasn't satisfied, and what he comes back with is, instead of saying, well, sir, I'm an intelligence officer, that's the truth, or that's the best we can do in stretching it as you want, he says, well, no problem, Mr. President. We can put a better case together for a public case. In other words, Mr. President, we can help you build a case to deceive the Congress and to deceive the American people, and we got 3 months to do it. You know, count on us. Now, that's better. In other words, does he think that his leading the intelligence community into this political area of stretching the information better so that a war, an unnecessary war, can be justified? My goodness, it shows to me that George Tenet still, after 7 years heading up the intelligence community, he still doesn't get what the job is all about. And the job is to tell the president the truth, for God's sake.
Yeah, not be a part. You wrote in a piece that I know has appeared as op-eds in various newspapers that he was marketing a war, and the CIA director's job is not to market a war.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, no one can feel as strongly as we professionals, I don't think, because that's what made us distinct. Now, you go around in Washington, Joy, and you say, or we used to say at least, there's one place in this bureaucracy where we can tell it like it is, one place that has no political agenda. And people in Washington, you know, they shrug their shoulders and say, right, yeah, tell me another one. But it was true, and I worked in that vineyard for 27 years. It was heady stuff. I had career protection for telling the president the truth, even if it varied from what the vice president was telling him, even if it varied from what the State Department or the Pentagon was telling him. And that was heady stuff. And to see that frittered away, to see that openly acknowledged as, well, that's not the way you play the game, that's very painful indeed.
Yeah. He, George Tenet, was also upset about the leak that resulted in the slam dunk comment being spread around the world. Here he is again from 60 Minutes.
And I remember picking up the phone and calling Andy Card, who is a terrific human being and somebody I've always trusted. And
I said, president's chief of staff.
I call Andy. I say, you know, I believed that he had weapons of mass destruction. And now what's happened here is you've gone out and made me look stupid. It's the most despicable thing I've ever heard in my life. Men of honor don't do this.
Men of honor don't.
You don't do
this.
You don't throw people overboard. You don't do this. You don't call somebody in. You work your heart out. You show up every day. You're going to throw somebody overboard just because it's a deflection? Is that honorable? It's not honorable to me.
What's your reaction to that, Ray McGovern?
Well, let me come down from the ceiling first, Joy. they're all honorable men, as Shakespeare once said. And they're all, quote, terrific human beings, as George Tenet just said. Andy Card is part of this conspiracy. It is a conspiracy, by the way. This was a conspiracy to defraud the American government and the American people. What do I mean? It was a conspiracy to undermine the elected representatives of the people in the Congress to deceive these people out of their constitutional prerogative to declare or otherwise authorize war. That's as serious as it gets, because that's precisely the conspiracy that Andy Card and George Tenet participated in. Now, Andy Card, do you remember? After the summer of 2002, he announced in early September, now we have a big, big new product to bring out here in early September, and we're going to do it now rather than doing it last August, because you don't market a new product in August. You know what the new product was? The new product was the war. They all got together and they decided how they would do this war. Now, poor George Tenet, he says he doesn't want to look stupid. Well, it's better to look stupid, if that were the real case, than to look like a liar. And that, my friends, is the real case. Now, how can I say that? There is documentary proof, missed by and large by the corporate media, documentary proof that George Tenet was lying through his teeth. For example, On the 20th of July, 2002, Tony Blair sent the chief of his intelligence outfit to Washington to find out from Tenet what was really going to happen. Now, this was sort of interesting because Blair and Bush were talking on the phone every week at least. But when we're talking about war and peace here, Blair did the sensible thing and went, as we say, back channel. He knew that Tenet was as close to Bush as anyone, and so he sent Tenet's opposite number, Sir Richard Dearlove, head of MI6, the British CIA, to Washington to find out what was going on. I know people who were there for that reception. It was a Saturday, and Tenet and Dearlove went one-on-one in a separate room for about an hour and a half. Now, Dearlove comes back. 3 days later, Tony Blair convenes his 12 apostles, the 12 people who are the top national security officials, foreign minister, defense minister, and so forth, and Dearlove reports. And he says, well, this is what I learned, and this is a quotation. Quotation from what, Joy? This is a quotation from the minutes of that meeting written by a participant on the same day, and the minutes have been vouched for as authentic by the British government. Doesn't get any better than that. This is what Dearlove reported. President Bush has decided to make war on Iraq for regime change. It will be, quote, justified, end quote, by the conjunction of weapons of mass destruction and terrorism. Last sentence, and this is the crowning sentence. But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. End quote. Now, what do you mean, but the intelligence facts were fixed around the policy? He meant but because the British foreign minister jumped up and intervened, and he said, look, he says, I've been talking to Colin Powell, and, you know, the case for weapons of mass destruction being in Iraq is pretty far-fetched, you know. And so Dearlove comes back, and he says, yeah, I know, but the intelligence and facts are being fixed around the policy. Now, that was July 23, 2002. I haven't counted up the months. I think it's about 8 months before the war started. And George Tenet is already giving the British, our closest ally, the real scoop here. And there are several other documentary proofs. Let me adduce just one more, Joy, because these are pretty damning. When Saddam's son-in-law, Hussein Kamel, defected to Jordan in 1995, he brought with him a treasure trove of documents and other evidence about the biological, chemical, and the incipient nuclear weapons development program and the missile program from Iraq. Now, how was he able to get his hands on that? Well, he was in charge of all those programs, okay? He was the director. He defected, he was debriefed, and most of the stuff, well, the stuff that they could check out, turned out to be true. And what did he tell us about weapons of mass destruction? He told us they were all destroyed in 1991 after the Gulf War, before the UN inspectors could get in and show us to have been a bunch of liars. All of them? Yes, all of them. Now, that debriefing report was kept in the vault of the International Atomic Energy Agency for many, many years until some British, enterprising British researcher from Cambridge, got a hold of it somehow. We don't know how he got a hold of it, but he shared it with Newsweek magazine. And Newsweek magazine, 3 weeks before the war, namely on 24 February 2003, put this story in their little Periscope, a little miscellaneous collection of articles. But they did do it, you know. And what they said was Saddam's son-in-law says that there are no weapons of mass destruction. Now, put yourself back 3 weeks before the war. This was the main justification for the war that was being given. Wouldn't you think that the corporate media might want to pick up on that? Would they be interested in that? Nothing at all.
Let me jump in because we're past our break time and our lines are full with listeners who want to talk with you. But when someone hangs up, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, talking with Ray McGovern, a 27-year veteran of the CIA, a former CIA analyst, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. One of a half dozen former CIA officers who sent former CIA Director George Tenet a letter over the weekend saying that he should give back his Congressional Medal of Honor or Freedom, Medal of Freedom, and should also donate proceeds from his book to the families of Iraq War veterans. Says that Tenet is guilty of politicizing intelligence and worse, and should never have been involved with marketing a war. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, and our first caller is Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm not defending Tenet. He certainly was a coward, but we're really dealing with a corporate criminal syndicate here, and they take action against any member of the administration or people in federal agencies who speak out publicly at all against policies they want to put into effect. And Cheney was haunting the CIA headquarters with regular visits and putting pressure on Tenet and everybody there. And I understand that was sort of unprecedented, at least in somewhat recent times, to fit the desired plan to invade Iraq by providing evidence, as you said. Who knows what kinds of threats Cheney, made against Tenet if he didn't comply with this absolutely outrageous order. Look at what happened to Valerie Plame. Look at what's happened to so many members of the administration who spoke out. Well, so I'm not defending him, but I am saying that Cheney and Bush play hardball. They don't care who they destroy.
Well, Ann, your point is very well taken. But we're not quite down to the KGB and the old USSR yet. In other words, if somebody knocks on my door right now, I'm reasonably certain they're not going to haul me off and take me away, put me in Guantanamo, mm-hmm. where no one will hear from me again. That being the case, there's a big difference. That's a big difference. What does George Tenet risk by telling the truth? Well, he no longer can feast at the table of the supreme power, okay? You know, supreme power or total power corrupts totally, and that's what happened to Tenet. And people have to have the integrity to say, no, I'm not going to participate. They don't have to say, I'm not going to participate in this corporate criminal syndicate. All they have to say, sir, you have my resignation. I'm not really prepared to do that. And no one, and this is your point, I think, no one has had the courage to do that. Look at this General Michael Hayden, who was head of NSA, when George Bush told him, look, I know there's a law against this, but we want you to monitor Americans. Now, he was an active duty general sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And instead of saying, sir, that would violate my oath to observe the Constitution, I need to leave, he said, yes, sir, how many Americans do you want me to monitor? And this is a guy that brags about, you know, having 18 years of Catholic education. Well, I only had 17 years. I guess I missed the year that says it's okay to lie and lie about violating the Constitution. So these people I have no patience with. They should have quit. They're not going to be shot, and they're not going to be put in prison. They need to have the courage of what I thought were their convictions.
Yeah. And you think Tenet should have resigned?
Of course he should have, but this was beyond his ken. You see, his problem is that he was in no way an intelligence officer. He never collected intelligence. He never analyzed intelligence. He was a functionary. He made his mark in Congress as a staffer. And the way you do that is by pleasing everybody you possibly can. And if that means sort of shading intelligence or shading information this way or that way, that's the ethos there. So appointing somebody from this quintessential politicized ambiance and making him head of the intelligence community is stupid beyond all reason, because how is he going to turn around and say, okay, from now on, I'm going to tell the unvarnished truth. I'm not going to shape or shade anything. I'm not going to cook intelligence no matter who tells me to, even the president. That's too much of a leap. So one of the lessons from all this would be that no director of Central Intelligence or the CIA or the director of National Intelligence should come out of that particular ambiance, Congress.
Yeah. Brian in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? With all due respect, I mean, I'm in total agreement with you, but I do not understand why we are spending time going after the underlings slash minions of the two-headed monster currently residing in the White House right now. I mean, if you guys and people like you that know what's going on would put all your time and effort towards, say, I don't know, one thing. Let's just say Halliburton. Then we could just put these guys away. I mean, it's just, it's incredible to me that we're actually focusing on this when there's so much more to focus on. I mean, sir, if you or if I would have committed the crimes that the two men in most in power in this country right now would have committed in any other realm other than the corporate political government we have, you and I would be cellmates right now. These people are, it's just so easy to bring down. It's like Senate right now, our Congress and everything, they have the power to stop the war, but they won't because they don't have the guts to go after the right people. And this is just another offset of that problem. Nobody's got the guts to take these criminals out of office.
Well, there are a couple there, Brian. Feingold's got the guts. There are a couple that are stepping up to the plate now, and I think it's our job to hold their feet to the fire. With respect to the list of crimes, you're quite right. You know, there are so many that one has to be selective. And the reason I'm not going after Halliburton is because I don't have any expertise in that area. What I do have expertise in, and what my colleagues do, is the prostitution of intelligence. It's in the woodwork. The policymakers always try to do it. But during my 27 years, almost all of them, there was a director with integrity that stood up to that pressure.
Well, and Ray McGovern, I think the first time we spoke, it was after you and your organization were calling for the impeachment of Vice President Cheney. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That was July 14th, 2003.
Yeah.
So we were on record before anyone else in saying that the eminence grise, the power behind the throne here, the real Rasputin of all this is Vice President Cheney. And, you know, we take no delight in finding ourselves completely right on that.
Mm-hmm. Brian, thank you very much for the call. Linda in Monroe is next. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Joy.
Hello,
good
Linda.
Morning, Mr. McGovern. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Now, I appreciate the fact that George Tenet came on the CBS 60 Minutes program, but I wish he would have done it years before rather than let President Bush make a fool of the organization. Now, I personally think President Bush and Vice President Cheney should be impeached for lying to the voters. Now, after reading the book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time, by Antonia Yuhas, she stated that he wants to privatize Iraq's oil so that oil companies like ExxonMobil can control Iraq's oil production and then 70% of the profits, and then that would lock the Iraq government into 30-year contracts. Now, it's like Ted Koppel said, he wishes that the media would talk about the real issue for the war, which is the oil and who controls it. Please comment.
That's exactly right, Linda. I got into all kinds of trouble when I testified before the Conyers Committee by adducing three reasons for the war. None of them were the ones that Bush mentioned. The first one, of course, was oil. The second one was Israel. And the third one was the logistical base, namely the permanent military bases that the administration thought they'd like to have in Iraq to protect those two other interests, Israel and oil. That's clearly the case. Antonia Yuhas has got it exactly right. Her book is the best. And this oil law, the oil law that not only the president, but the senators and representatives are insisting upon as one of the benchmarks, that oil law will do precisely what you describe, namely give inordinate benefits to U.S. and British oil companies.
Thank you, Linda. Stefan in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
First compliments to Linda and Brian and, of course, Ray. Now, Ray, will you please comment on the conspiracy behind September 11th that served as the pretext for the invasion of these oil countries? And as far as I'm concerned, this latest Tenet thing could be a limited hangout, but please comment on the 9/11. Thanks very much.
Yeah, for those of you without a touch of gray in your hair, a limited hangout is what was described by Nixon to Haldeman saying, we're going to come a little bit clean on Watergate. We'll have a limited hangout of information. 9/11. It's very difficult to address this, Stefan, in a couple of sentences, but let me try. The 9/11 Commission report was a cover-up. I know that. We all know that. Information that was entirely germane and interesting was not included in that report. So the question is, what is being covered up? Now, those of us who have worked in the federal bureaucracy for a long time know that just when you think no more mistakes, no more terrible errors can happen, well, then they do. So there's ample room for a royal screw-up here. So many things went wrong. But there's also unanswered questions, and the unanswered questions are what trouble me. And the people trying to get answers to those questions are, in my view, heroes, the so-called the people denigrated as, quote, conspiracy theorists. Well, there wouldn't be any conspiracy if the U.S. government would come through with the answers that they know, okay? And so where am I left? I'm left in the unpleasurable position of not having had the time to look into all these theories, look into all this information to the degree I would like to as an analyst. I am in the unhappy position of asking myself, is it beyond my ken that Vice President Cheney would have at least allowed this to happen? No, it's not beyond my ken at all. But can I let that affect my judgment on the evidence such as I know it to be? No, I cannot, because then I would be guilty of what we professional intelligence analysts accuse others of doing, and that's cherry-picking intelligence. So my applause for those who are trying to get the answer. We can talk at more length about the things that trouble me most, and one thing that troubles me most is Cheney in the bunker after the first two planes it hit, but before the one that hit the Pentagon. And we have Mineta, the head of the Secretary of Transportation's testimony, that this little functionary came in and said, same orders, Mr. President, 5 miles out. And he said, yeah, same orders. 5 minutes later, something hit the Pentagon. Now, that's very damning evidence. There has to be some sort of explanation for that, but Cheney won't give it.
Most of the attention from Tenet's book has been on this slam dunk stuff and some other quotes from his interview, but didn't he say in his book that he was trying to warn Condoleezza Rice about the 9/11 attacks, but was not successful in doing that?
That's correct, Joy. Yeah. Now, I have always attributed that to her rank incompetence. I mean, she was exactly the wrong person to be National Security Advisor because she didn't know anything about the job or how to do it. The president was warned on the 6th of August in a President's Daily Brief item, the title of which was Osama bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. And what happened? Zero. Nothing. Nada. Okay? And whose fault is that? Well, it's, of course, the president's fault, but his national security advisor is the one that's supposed to hold his feet to the fire and say, well, now, shouldn't we, well, maybe, you know, well, there's, yeah, we have this National Security Council. Maybe, yeah, I got an idea, Mr. President. Why don't I can, yeah, ask those people to come to, maybe they would have an idea as to what to do. She didn't even do that. She didn't warn the airlines. She didn't warn the airports. And so it happened. Now, I'm sensing from your question that maybe she was instructed not to pursue it further. Frankly, that had never occurred to me, Joy, but it's worth exploring.
Oh, I wasn't inferring that, but that he was making that claim that his warnings were being ignored.
Well, they were. That's factual. The reason they were ignored, as I say, I've always attributed to rank incompetence.
Yeah. Our guest is Ray McGovern, 27-year veteran of the CIA, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, one of six former CIA officers who sent former CIA Director George Tenet a letter following the publicity over his book and the comments that he made regarding slam dunk and how the administration decided before that comment that it was going to be going to war in Iraq. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions for him. In that letter, the former CIA analyst officers told Tenet he should return his Congressional Medal of Freedom and that he should also donate money, royalties from the book sales to veterans or the families of veterans. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn is with you. Kathleen and her guest will discuss Iraq funding, the Bush veto, the response from Congress, and American attitudes toward the war. Coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking with a former CIA analyst who says George Tenet is guilty of politicizing intelligence and worse, and should never have been involved with the marketing of a war. And our next caller is Ed in Burlington. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi,
morning, Ed.
Morning. This war has affected my family personally. My son's a disabled veteran from this war. And, you know, we're really proud that he went to serve his country, but really don't know why he went in the first place. But my question is you talk about how he could disperse some of these royalties to the families. How would that happen? And how would you get like a lawsuit against him or something?
Well, Ed, this is a good question. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond my expertise, but certainly some sort of foundation could be set up and some reputable people put in charge of distributing these funds. I mean, it is unconscionable to me that a person like Tenet, admitting to what he has already admitted to, would take $4 million, and that's just the preliminary contract on the book, plus the $50,000 he gets for every speech he makes around the country. They would take that money. It's blood money. It's like the 30 pieces of silver that Judas threw into the cemetery or whatever. You know how he could take that money? At least Judas had the presence of mind not to keep it. Okay, mm-hmm. And he's taken that money, and he's going to enrich himself still further. What needs to happen is he needs to say, "All right, I'm going to do something magnanimous for a change. I'm going to acknowledge my participation in this conspiracy, and don't give it to a foundation that would distribute it appropriately."
Yeah. You expect him to do that?
Well, you know, I think no one is beyond redemption. I think as he thinks this thing through and as we try to hold his feet to the fire, that there's always a chance that someone like he will say, okay, you know, I admit it. I didn't do what I should have done. I have profited financially from this. I'm going to make restitution. Let me ask a quick question now. Ed, who I've just talked with, do you come from a town with more than 10,000 inhabitants?
Actually, we're right at 10,000.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask that, and the reason this is important, is that half of the soldiers in our volunteer army come from towns of 10,000 or less.
Mm.
And that is a very telling statistic. It has to do with justice. And I think, you know, when people pretend to be Christians or Judeo-Christians, they ought to realize that all Yahweh and Jesus of Nazareth cared about was justice, that we do justice. And when we make it possible for a volunteer army to come primarily from places where, by and large, economic opportunity and educational opportunities do not exist, then that is not justice and it's un-American.
You know, the damage that has caused my family, this war is just, I mean, I can't even begin to, you know, it's caused a divorce. It's caused, my son is not even, you know, I'm still waiting for my son to come home. You know, Kyle, he's home, but my son is, I'll never see my son the way he was when he left.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible. I mean, the whole effect, we've lost five good friends in this war. Young kids, I mean, that are, they're no longer going to be here at all. And I mean, this is all terrible. You know, with the O.J. Simpson book, they stopped that book from being published. Can't they stop this book from being published?
Well, I'm assuming it's too late to stop it from being published, but I'm certain that people like you, Ed, and the others of us can certainly raise the kind of hue and cry which will cry out to honest people and say, this is the epitome of injustice here. This is little solace, I'm sure, but your senator is Feingold, right?
That's right.
Have you talked to him? I mean, this is a guy who knows which end is up. The other thing is that I was a Army intelligence and infantry officer, actually, and I know what it is to crawl underneath live fire and that kind of stuff, okay? Now, George Tenet never served. George Bush never served. Dick Cheney never served. And that makes one huge, huge difference. It's all academic to them. They're all statistics. They're not real people. Mm-hmm. And I think Feingold needs to be fortified by folks like you, Ed, that go to him and say, look, this is what happened in my family. Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Ed, thank you so much for calling, and I'm sorry for your what your family's going through. Paul in Slinger is with us next. Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you. Mr. McGovern, we spend and have been spending several billion dollars a year in imagery satellite. We have a large intelligence, and it's in the billions annual budget.
Right.
Now, in 1991, we systematically, the United States and United Nations forces systematically destroyed every plant that manufactured weapons in Iraq.
Right.
And now, nothing has come out in imagery that can see down to within 3 inches.
Yeah.
To build a nuclear device, you need several million square feet of plant area.
Correct.
You need huge power lines and power plants feeding this. And just looking at imagery would tell you that they didn't have the beginnings of a nuclear weapons production.
Right.
And why didn't that come out to saying that where was this, and why didn't countervailing forces say satellite imagery tells you that they don't have anything?
Yeah. Paul, that's an excellent question, and it's one that you don't find answered in the main media, but I can answer it. There is no countervailing entity. Now, let me explain. There used to be a really professional organization called the National Photographic Interpretation Center. This was the group of folks that found the missiles in Cuba. This is the group of folks that told Ronald Reagan, we can verify this arms control agreement with the Soviet Union. This is a group of people which were thoroughly professional and dedicated to the ethos in which I operated, namely, you speak truth to power, you never cook the intelligence, okay? Now, what happened? In 1996, John Deutsch, who was then head of the CIA and who really desperately wanted to be the Secretary of Defense and made no bones about that, he gave that outfit to the Pentagon. Lock, stock, and barrel. All the analysis of imagery, and we're talking satellite imagery mostly, but other imagery as well, is now was under Don Rumsfeld, now under Bobby Gates. Now, what does that mean? It should be obvious. Don Rumsfeld was in charge of the analysis of imagery information. Now, the Pentagon had always been pretty much in charge of putting the satellites up and that kind of stuff, but the analysis was always done under the aegis of the Director of Central Intelligence, the CIA, okay? And so this is how it could happen. This is how, even though the satellite photography had no confirmation of these spurious reports served up by Iraqi emigres, that there was no analyst that didn't work for Donald Rumsfeld that would tell it like it is. So if Chalabi said, we think there's a, my cousin tells me there's a chemical weapons production plant at these coordinates. Well, in the old days, an independent imagery analyst would call up imagery of those coordinates and say, hey, that's a chicken farm. We know that's a chicken farm because of this, this, and this. Now, what sergeant or what officer working for Don Rumsfeld would have put up a report saying, well, Chalabi doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. It's a chicken farm. It doesn't happen anymore, and that's how it all happened. Paul, thanks very much for your question. It's a very sorry mess, but the Pentagon controls not only the collection but the evaluation and analysis of imagery right now, and that is a structural fault in the intelligence community.
Thanks to Paul. We are talking with Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst. He's talking with us about the charges that George Tenet, former CIA director George Tenet, makes in his new book, At the Center of the Storm, where he accuses the administration of having no firm rationale for going to war with Iraq. Our guest is among the former CIA officers that sent Tenet a letter expressing their dissatisfaction with him, saying he should have resigned, that he should have spoken out sooner, that he also was guilty of politicizing intelligence and worse. They want him to give back his Medal of Freedom, and they want him to donate proceeds from his book to Iraq War veterans and or their families. 1-800-642-1234. We have a line for you and time for you if you have a question for Ray McGovern. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our next caller is Keith in Madison. Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Keith.
Hi. On the 60 Minutes interview, George Tenet was asked if anybody had died during torture, and he said no, and that was a falsehood. Marvin Bell, the poet, even wrote a poem, a very moving poem, about one man who was tortured in Afghanistan under the most horrendous conditions. Another lie he told was when he was asked about 9/11. He said that he told Condoleezza Rice shortly before 9/11 that there was going to be a large-scale attack and large numbers of people would die. And, of course, that's true. But apparently he places more value on an American life than an Iraqi life, because he said that at the very end of the interview that, he may have saved, thousands of American lives, but yet he didn't have the intestinal fortitude to say no to the war and to speak out and wave his arms and jump up and down and scream and holler about the numbers of Iraqi lives that would be lost if the United States invaded the country. I wanted you to comment on that. Thank you.
Sure. Well, Keith, Tenet's claims about the success of extracting information via torture, they're no more worthy of credulity than the rest of what he says. I think that John McCain has it exactly right when he says, I don't buy the premise upon which Tenet is claiming that he saved American lives. I just don't buy it. Torture is just wrong. It's morally wrong, and it doesn't work. Okay, so if you're a utilitarian, be it known that it doesn't work. If you're a moral person, be it known that we used to consider this always intrinsically wrong, inhabiting the same category in the moral sphere as slavery or as rape, always, always wrong. And we've come a long way when a good half of Americans have been persuaded by phony red herrings like ticking bombs in Times Square. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you, that never happens. It never, ever happens. You can never be sure. You can never be sure. And so I think John McCain is right on this. And you know, when we watched Tenet, I was really amazed. Within the space of one paragraph, he said, "We do not torture," five times, okay? And then he intimidated Scott Pelley. He says, look, you listen to me now. You're not listening to me. This is typical bully tactics that hoods up in Queens. See, I come from the Bronx. We're just a short river away, a bridge away. That's the tactics that people who have access to uncontrolled power try to use on people that ask them legitimate questions. So it's it's really a sad day when we have somebody say we don't torture people five times, and then in the next sentence he makes it absolutely clear why we had to torture people. The context is what he adduces, and these are very bad people. So it's the same. He's taking his cue from the president, who has spoken masterfully about, quote, catapulting the propaganda, end quote, by endlessly repeating the same sentence like Goebbels did in Nazi Germany.
Well, I meant to ask you, Ray McGovern, before we run out of time, that there has been some response to the call that he give back the Medal of Freedom. He said that he accepted that medal only because it was for the CIA's work on Afghanistan and not Iraq. And others are saying that he shouldn't have to give it back because it really was for Afghanistan, not Iraq.
Well, that's not what the president said. You have to go back and look at that ceremony. People sort of divorced from facts, Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but not everybody's entitled to their own facts. Look at what the president said about it. Now, the Medal of Freedom here, it's a presidential thing, not a congressional thing. And it wouldn't matter were it not for the fact that Mother Teresa was given that medal. Mm. And to have George Tenet given that medal. That borders on sacrilege, in my view.
Let's take another caller. Craig in Onalaska. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm wondering, in the guest's opinion, who has written the most truthful book so far concerning Iraq?
Concerning this kind of business, Michael Isikoff and David Korn, it's a book called Hubris.
Hubris.
Yeah. Now, okay. Ron Suskind has one, The 1% Doctrine, which talks about Cheney, and there are a couple others out there, but those folks rely primarily on guess who? George Tenet. They interviewed him ad nauseum, and so they reflect his heroics and his distinguished accomplishments. And I was really, really amazed to hear that those books adduced as countervailing books, and wondering why they come out so sympathetic to George Tenet. You know, the answer is pretty simple, guys. Tenet was the main source for those guys, as he was for a lot of what others have written.
Yeah.
He and McLaughlin had opened doors for any journalist who might be persuaded to give them a sympathetic view. And, you know, McLaughlin, you know, he's one of the CNN commentators now. On Saturday, I heard him speak from a clearly well-prepared list of things that, as he put it, things that CIA did right. And he said, you know, we did this right, we did that right. And then he said, but it got the weapons of mass destruction wrong. It was inadequate. Now it. So we got them all right, and it, the agency, got. So this little thing about weapons of mass destruction.
Let me get in one last caller. Martha in Menominee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask Mr. McGovern what the rank-and-file citizens can do to protest this blatant search, you know, greed for money. With Nixon, we did the No Books from Crooks boycott. What do you recommend, Mr. McGovern? How can we, normal citizens, make our voice heard that this disgusts us?
We have less than a minute to go.
I would say No Books for Crooks, Part 2. It's an excellent idea. As a matter of fact, we just learned that there's going to be a big Georgetown soiree here where Tenet will be feted by his accomplices, and we're going to boycott that. We're going to raise a big stir about that.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You're most welcome, Joy.
Ray McGovern, 27-year veteran of the CIA, co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, one of a half dozen former CIA officers who sent George Tenet a letter telling him that they're not too happy with him and wanting him to give back his Medal of Freedom and also donate proceeds from his new book to the families or the veterans of the Iraq War. Thanks to Karen Prager and Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.